Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we'll be listening to a study which was taught live at Calvary Chapel La Mirada as part of a verse-by-verse study through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The study today will focus on our need to mourn and weep over the spiritual condition of our nation and to intercede for our country. As we look around and see the resistance toward God in our society, it should break our hearts to the point of mourning. As the scripture says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our study today will start in the book of Jeremiah, and we'll see how he was one who was touched by the spiritual condition of the people of Israel, even to the point of tears. That's why so many refer to him as the weeping prophet. Let's now go to a study which was taught at Calvary Chapel La Mirada.
Look at Jeremiah, in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, he's referred to as the weeping prophet. So he was weeping over the condition of the nation of Israel. Look at verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for the wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Jeremiah was given a message that God's going to bring his judgment upon the people. He preached, they weren't responding, and so he didn't harden his heart to those people. He says, I don't have enough tears to shed. I'm so grief-stricken over the condition of the people and the fact that God's judgment is looming over them, and they're totally unaware of it. They're totally rejecting that message. I can't help but see the parallel with our government and the situation we find ourselves in today. And if you as a Christian could look at what's happening in the White House and not have a sense of mourning, then you really have to question the depth of your walk with Jesus Christ. This is not a time to laugh. I believe that we are in a desperate situation. I was listening to an interview that Dr. Dobson gave with William Bennett, and he really hit the nail on the head, that the real danger of what's happening. He had the insight to say what the President of the United States is asking the nation to do is to accept or to tolerate his sin. And when the leader of the world, of the United States, is asking the nation to do that, and that nation responds, we have just taken another step towards our depravity, towards wickedness and evil that'll penetrate our society. Because that's what he's basically saying. Keep your nose out of my business, my private affairs, doesn't matter how I run the nation. And after all, the economy's doing well, and after all, we're the most powerful nation in the world. We're the greatest nation in the world. I'm scared for the response of how people are going to respond to what our president is asking them to do. He's asking for approval of sin. And if our nation responds that way, and it seems like we're moving in that direction as people are interviewed, because they already have said, we don't care what his moral conduct is, that doesn't affect the role of the presidents. The Bible says that sin is a reproach to any nation. And we should be blushing over what's happening in the White House, and blushing now that all the world knows about it. Kenneth Starr's report is in England already, and they can't keep it on the shelves. People are gathering it up to read it. It's an embarrassment. And it's not a time to laugh about what's happening with the White House and with our nation. I mean, what would you think of a person that showed up at a funeral and started to laugh in that environment? Or what would you think of a person that drove by an accident and started pointing his fingers, oh, look what happened, and started laughing? I would say that's the same thing with people that are making jokes about what's happening in our nation. I believe it's a very serious moment. It brings a grief to my heart, that the condition of the nation that we're in and the direction that we're moving in, because I see this is another giant step towards even further evil creeping into our society. Let me give you some of the responses that I've heard on the news and through various individuals. There's some of the youth that say, hey, the president's cool, you know, I really like him now that I found out all this junk about him. To me, that is scary. They're also interviewing a girl on UCLA campus about the aspect of the alcohol problem that's on campuses. It hasn't decreased, it's starting to increase once again. And they interviewed her and said, what do you think about that? And her response was, this wasn't a Christian news agency, it was KFWB or one of those on the AM station. And she said, well, with a president like we have, what do you expect? And so his actions are affecting the conduct and the lifestyle of people. And you can't say that's my private life. I mean, that'd be like me trying to stand up here and say, well, you know, I committed an affair, but I wasn't on the job at the time. You can't get into my personal matters and affect the way I teach the Bible. Sure it does. What's in your heart comes out in decisions that you make, moral decisions. And isn't it by coincidence that this week our government could not veto the president's bill to allow partial birth abortion? That means the child is partially born, then they kill it. Something is sick in our society, and it should be like Jeremiah here. It's just a time to weep that we don't have enough tears to shed over the condition of what's happening here. It's not a time to laugh. All of Christianity is not just, you know, hype and fun and joy. There's a mourning because now we're touched by what God is concerned about. And I don't see the White House, whether it's Republican or Democrat, I see it through the eyes of Scripture. And that's what I measure it by. And that brings a grief. And I know that God wants a leader as well as a nation to live in integrity and honesty. And God will bless that sort of lifestyle. It'll bring His discipline and His judgment upon those that will reject His word. And I believe that we're sitting on just a whole nother aspect of consequences that could rise up at this condition. It's not a time to laugh. It's not a time to joke about it. I can't even watch the talk shows anymore because these people, it's like they're ignorant. They're saying, it doesn't matter what he did. Well, you know, the economy's good, and, you know, I got more money in my pocket than I did. So who cares about that? It's just like they don't see. There's consequence. What a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And I believe the same thing goes for a nation. And so it's a time to mourn over the spiritual and moral condition of our society. See, people that aren't a Christian, they're not going to be touched by those things. They don't have the values that God, by His Spirit, has placed in us. And I can't help but be concerned about what's happening, because I see the spiritual consequences that come upon people when things like this are happening. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 20. See the Apostle Paul in a couple places, one in Acts, one in Romans. Paul was one that mourned. I think Paul was a man filled with life, but he was definitely one that mourned certain conditions. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it's part of his message to the Ephesian elders. He's leaving them, never going to see them again. And in verse 30 and 31, he says this as he's ready to depart. It says, "Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." He was concerned about the heretical doctrines that are going to rise up in the church, and people are going to be drawn away from the true teaching of the Bible to follow these false teachers. And Paul was grieved over that situation. He says, "With tears I warned you night and day." He was concerned about this, and he says, "I know it's going to happen as I leave. Wolves are going to come in, right in the midst of the body of Christ." You know, I, as a pastor, I'm touched by this one, that, you know, just the false teaching that creeps into the body of Christ and draws people away and divides the body of Christ. And so I labor by trying to teach you the Word of God accurately, teach you doctrine. We set up a school so you could study, so those types of things don't happen. But when I turn on TV, there's a reaction that's in me. And when I watch Channel 40 and I hear these guys teach things that are so contrary to the Bible. And they're the ones that have TV programs. They're the ones that are being plotted. Multitudes come out and fortune is raised for their ministries. And it drives me crazy. You know, I mourn over that people are being led astray by false teaching. See, I can't just watch it. Oh, look at that. You know, it's just, I can't watch before I go to bed at night, or I can't sleep. I'm all turmoil because it affects me. I want people to know the truth, true doctrine. So when you start caring about people, that's when a mourning sets in. If you want to live for yourself, you'll never experience mourning, but you won't experience this blessedness that comes with this mourning as well. I believe Jesus Christ is the most blessed man that ever walked the face of the earth, but he was also, you know, had that depth of grief over people's condition.
This concludes the broadcast today, and I hope this study has encouraged you to a deeper awareness of our need to mourn over the spiritual condition of our society, and I hope that'll compel us to a serious ministry of intercession for our country. At this point, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer for our nation. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would bring about change in our country. Father, you'd bring about repentance in the White House as well as into every heart. Father, we have went astray from your ways, and I pray that you would have mercy upon us. Lord, we do pray that there'd be a revival that would start within the hearts of the church. As you say, judgment first begins in the house of the Lord. And so we pray that you would deal with your people. Father, I pray that you'd give us a heart to pray for our nation, as you tell us in the Word, to lift up prayers for kings and for those that are in authority, so that there'd be peace within the land. So we do pray, Father, that you'd bring in your righteousness, that we as a church would be salt and light, and that you would place into the heart of your children a real mourning over the condition of our society, because many people's lives are being ripped off. We do see the evidence of Satan there, who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And Father, we want to intercede on their behalf. We pray that there would be many people that would turn to you in salvation, and many hearts that are backslidden would be brought back to you, Father. And those hearts that are resistant to your will, that you would humble them and bring them to that place of repentance. So we do pray for our nation and pray for your blessing to be upon it. We pray that hearts would be turned to you. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.